and that is a metallic phase. And just by studying the entanglement in the ground states in these three phases, you could tell the difference and get some sense for the different properties of the metal as compared to these two insulators, and then for the fractional excitations in this insulator as compared to this one. So one particular way to organize the information about the entanglement in a ground state is called the entanglement spectrum. And so what you do is the following. You take psi, the ground state of your system, and imagine that your system is made of two parts, A and B. As usual, you compute the reduced density matrix, rho sub A, which is tracing over the degrees of freedom in B, of the full density matrix, psi cross psi. The entanglement entropy that we've heard a fair bit about in this conference is then defined to be the entropy of this distribution, rho sub A. It satisfies a number of nice properties, including an area law in a ground state. That is, it only depends on the length of the boundary between A and B. It has universal behavior near critical points. But instead of this one number regarding rho A, we could think about the entire spectrum of rho A organized in a particular way. So we define the entanglement Hamiltonian to be the negative log of rho A, or rho A is e to the minus he. And then we say he is the entanglement Hamiltonian. We say all its energies are called the entanglement energies. And this was pioneered by Lee and Haldane. They were the first people to think about actually looking at the entire beast as opposed to this one number, the entanglement entropy. And they found something remarkable. They found that, so this is the newest 5/2 Coulomb state in exact diagonalization. So they did exactly the procedure I said in the previous slide. And then they noticed that when this entanglement energy is plotted against a good quantum number, here the angular momentum in part A, kind of the momentum along in the subsystem A, that the entanglement spectrum in the low-lying part, and remember the low-lying part of the entanglement spectrum tells you the eigenvectors between A and B that are maximally entangled. So it's the highest, these guys are the most entangled between A and B. So they found that there was a remarkable resemblance between this and the actual physical edge excitation spectrum. And so from these and other studies, they concluded that perhaps this one spectrum to do with the ground state might tell you much more than just the ground state. It might tell you something about the excitation spectrum, and further could be an imprint of the phase, could be something universal about the entire phase. So you compute this one thing, and you perhaps know that this is a topologically ordered system. Since then, there has been an explosion of work. As of yesterday, it's 201 citations, but there's probably more because of the way PRL does its citations. But it's been applied everywhere, like everywhere, right? So, of course, there's been more work on the quantum Hall case, but then more recently, it was used as the diagnostic to conclude that people have actually found fractional churn insulators numerically. More interestingly, people have tried to generalize this idea not just for topologically ordered systems, but just for symmetry breaking. It's been used to classify phases in 1D, disorder, critical points, Galpis phases, just the list goes on and on, right? So what's the message? What does everyone broadly agree the entanglement spectrum teaches us? Well, so I'd say it's these four things. First, they say the low energy entanglement spectrum is universal. It's a fingerprint of a phase. It somehow tells you about the actual physical excitation spectrum of the system, although you have no information about the Hamiltonian, and it goes beyond entanglement entropy or the Reni entropies. As my title says, is I want to convince you today that no, it's not as universal as it's being claimed. So I'm going to do this in three parts. First, I'll try to give you some very general arguments that should tell you that will bring out why you might believe that an entanglement spectrum might not always be the same in a given phase. And then I'll give two examples, one in the context of broken symmetry, and then coming back to quantum Hall, bringing it one full circle with where it started.
So, I'm aware of claims of universality for chiral phases, but have there been broader claims of universality?
There have been broader claims of universality, especially in this broken symmetry context. For a continuous symmetry being broken, the claim is a tower of state structure appears in the entanglement spectrum only in the ordered state phase, much like the physical energy spectrum. Then there's been studies that say that you could study the phase transition between two phases just by looking at scaling of levels in the entanglement spectrum. So I'd say at this point it goes beyond just what's been said for chiral. Okay. So first off, the entanglement spectrum is a ground state property, right? And there, you can give examples where there are different Hamiltonians, some of which are gapped, some of which are gapless, all of which can have the same ground state. If they have the same ground state, they have the same entanglement spectrum. And so surely this is a counterexample for it being a characteristic of a phase as opposed to a state. The second kind of argument you could make is that the area law in the ground state psi implies that this entanglement Hamiltonian is a boundary Hamiltonian. It's to do with degrees of freedom near the at the boundary between part A and B. And so it's D minus one dimensional, where D is the spatial dimension, right? So it follows from this fact. And then unless you're working with these chiral topological phases, typically the excitations of H would lie in D dimensions, not D minus one. They wouldn't be localized in the edge. And so then you might just worry that there's a dimensional mismatch. How could something that lives in D minus one dimension tell you about something in D? But I'm gonna give you a different argument today. And it starts by thinking about this general object that I can define from the entanglement Hamiltonian, which is the canonical ensemble of this entanglement Hamiltonian. Okay, so it's why am I doing this? Well, because it starts when I notice that at entanglement temperature one, this is after all the reduced density matrix that I defined in the first place, right? This is how I got this entanglement Hamiltonian. So I can more generally think about the canonical ensemble to do with this D minus one dimensional Hamiltonian at all temperatures, noting that physical observables from the wave function only appear at temperature one, okay? The physical observables appear at temperature one, but the entanglement spectrum whose universality we study is the low energy part, that is, it's near temperature zero, right? And we've all done we've done quantum statistical mechanics before. We know that zero and finite temperature phases can be different. There's no reason that they always have to be in the same phase. And so then whether or not the entanglement spectrum at zero temperature, the low-lying part, is telling us something about physical observables at temperature one comes down to the question of what is a phase diagram versus TE.
So, what do you mean by entanglement spectrum TE equal to zero?
I plot the the spectrum of HE, right? And the reduced density matrix is if you wish at it's take this Hamiltonian and compute its canonical ensemble at temperature one,
sure.
Right? So it's high up in the excitation spectrum, right? But you're told not to look at that. That looks really messy. There's exponentially many levels there, etc. You said, no, just go down, look at the bottom of the spectrum, which is near temperature zero, and that somehow tells you about some information that you can get about the system whose observables you can only compute at temperature one.
Zero, we would only look at the lowest level. So we're definitely not just looking at the lowest level.
But, I mean, as long as you're not looking at any finite entanglement energy density, you're still looking at temperature zero.
Yeah.
You're just looking at, order. In the thermodynamic limit, if you're looking at some finite number of levels, then I'd say you're looking at temperature zero.
Maybe.
What's that?
Temperature zero would be looking just at the lowest level, right?
No, but also lowest level plus finite energy above it is still all temperature zero because non-zero temperature is finite energy density, right? Yeah, limit T goes to zero. T goes to zero, if that makes you happy. Yeah.
Okay. No. I get what you say about finding that energy. That's it.
Yeah. And really, yeah, it's T goes to zero versus T equals one. That's all I want to make the point. Finite temperature. Okay. So, right. So, what we would like to know is what is the phase diagram of this object versus TE. And if in general we can convince ourselves that TE goes to zero limit and T is equal one are in the same phase, then I think we could believe the claim that we're learning something about some more complicated physics at T is equal one by looking at something simpler as T goes to zero. So let me do this for a specific example. I'm going to pick the 2 plus 1D transverse-filizing model, which has this kind of a phase diagram. So delta there is my transverse field. And as a function of transverse field, I can there's an ordered phase and a disordered phase and a physical critical point. And just to be clear, the procedure I'm imagining is the following. Take the Hamiltonian at value delta, calculate the ground state, calculate the entanglement Hamiltonian from this the reduced density matrix of the ground state. Now imagine making this object in which TE is also a parameter that you're going to vary, and then plot the phase diagram for delta versus TE. Right? So that's what I mean. And just to be very clear, this entanglement Hamiltonian itself is some complicated function of this parameter delta because the ground state itself changes as you vary delta. Okay, so the first thing I can draw is this is the line at T is equal to 1. And because I told you that the object rho at temperature 1 coincides with the reduced density matrix of part A, I know that I have observables, physical observables in the system that can diagnose the disordered phase from the ordered phase at this temperature. Right? So the phase diagram here must coincide with the physical phase diagram of the system. So now I just need to fill in the rest, right? So let me start from a point where I know what happens. So this is at transverse field 0, when the ground state basically looks like all up plus all down. If you now asked about the entanglement spectrum, you see that you have just two levels, one corresponding to all up, the other corresponding to all down. And then there's an infinite gap in this entanglement spectrum. So it's easy to see that this ferromagnetic order in the entanglement Hamiltonian persists to infinite temperature at this point, right? So instead of taking the parity even state, imagine just the all up state, right? That's just one state. It's a product state between A and B. And then if I ask about the magnetization of the spins near the edge at any temperature, it's going to be ordered, right? So that's another way to say it. So there's a ferromagnetic phase for all TE at this point. And now I just, a simple way to connect what I know happens on this line and on this line is to just say that it's a ferromagnetic phase everywhere here. But it turns out.
I'm a bit confused about that's the critical point. Why is that the critical point there?
So this is the value of the critical value of the transverse field.
Right.
At temperature 1, I know that I have observables in the reduced density matrix that can.
That are parallel
correlated. So I know I can diagnose this at temperature 1. And everywhere else, the way I think about it is that some only non-local observables in the wave function can tell you anything about what's happening at these other temperatures.
When you're talking about the phase diagram of very non-local Hamiltonian, you have no idea. It doesn't even have any spatial structure as far as
you know, right? So in the disordered phase, I'll show you by example that it's local. In this phase, you're right that it's terribly non-local. And so one reason why is, for example, the fact that, I've 2 plus 1D transverse-filizing model, that means the boundary is one spatial one dimension. But for it to have order at finite temperature, we know already it has to be non-local, right? So the fact that I draw this suggests that it will be non-local on the order side. On the other side, I'll show you that it's actually not a singular Hamiltonian. Okay. So I connect what I know happens here to what I know happens at deltas, delta CP, only at temperature 1. And a natural way to connect it is like this. However, it turns out that this line separating the ordered phase from the disordered phase, when the bulk is ordered. So when I say bulk is ordered, I mean the physical wave function that I give you has order in it, right? I can measure the ZZ correlation function and it goes to something constant at long distances, non-zero. And so from this, you can actually argue, much like I argued at the point where there was zero transverse field, that there's a preferred direction on the edge, the entanglement cut between A and B coming from the bulk. So the bulk basically tells it point up or point down. And that means that even if you go up to infinite temperature, the edge will never disorder on its own. Okay, so in general, you can argue that this line goes up to infinity. So everywhere here, the ensemble that I defined with this HE has ferromagnetic order. Now, if this were not a singular Hamiltonian here, you would just expect everything to be smooth. This ferromagnetic phase would continue on to this side. However, it is known that the entanglement Hamiltonian is singular. That's especially easy to see on this critical line because we know the critical line correlation functions exhibit power law behavior. So that means at temperature one, I have correlation functions that have power law behavior. So surely the Hamiltonian that's with this such a spectrum is not a local Hamiltonian. However, it is at low enough temperature, it is, and I'm going to show you by explicit example, that this ferromagnetic phase is actually going to persist into the ordered side, right? And this is my point, which is that in the putative disordered phase, as far as the wave function is concerned, the entanglement Hamiltonian undergoes a pseudo or a fake quantum and in sufficient number of dimensions, even a classical transition that is not reflected at physical temperature one. And so everything is smooth as far as your wave function is concerned, but the entanglement Hamiltonian will undergo some singular rearrangements at zero temperature or at low temperatures. Okay, so the fact that here the TE goes to zero and TE is equal to one are not in the same phase is my point that the entanglement Hamiltonian here is surely not telling you anything about what phase you are in. In fact, it would tell you that you're in the ordered phase when you're not. So so I made it seem here that I know what the order parameters are for this entanglement Hamiltonian to actually characterize ordered versus disordered phases. And more generally, if I don't know what that is, this phase transition, this line, would turn up as non-analyticities in the free energy, which I can just calculate with no knowledge or bias on as to what the phase diagram would be.
But the zero, temperature one is okay, it looks like. It's not much correspondence with the bulk would be...
Well, by construction, has to be exact.
Yeah.
Right, so I want to emphasize, every entanglement entropy is the entropy of this ensemble at temperature one, right? Yeah. So its universal behavior, its universal properties are real and true because it follows from things that contribute to your physical observables, which is only states at temperature one. However, other Reni entropies I'm going to show you need not always be physical in that they need not always tell you something about what your actual wave function is doing.
So you say, for entanglement entropy at temperature one, the boundary bulk correspondence may be precise. But however, when you study Reni entropy and try using that to study phase transition of bulk,
yeah,
things may be tricky.
Yeah.
You may not have correspondence.
You may have correspondence. And I think, it's not quite the same as what I'm presenting here, but I think Paul had this, was studying Reni entropies and had fake transitions at T is NTC in his Reni entropies. And I think of them in this way, that Reni entropies can show phase transitions before the physical phase transition because they occur, not at temperature one.
That's right. I wouldn't say that means they're unphysical. That means you have to be careful in interpreting what you're learning from the thing. So clearly, you just say, well, there's a non-analyticity in the entanglement entropy at, T equals 2TC. Well, that's not physical. There's not a phase transition. On the other hand, what you learn about that phase transition is relevant to the actual phase transition.
Well, I will try to...
So the point is it's subtler, but it's not...
Okay, I don't want to push it because yours is a classical model and yours is a mutual Reni, but I'll show you by next with an example that it's as if it's a surface transition.
Okay, but you maybe mention this later on, but also there's this known transition in the Reni entropy in these two, like quantum dimer model, for example, that Stefan, Mizuguchi, Pascal, and Joel, it was a Bartosz. Talked about. So again, it said there's a transition, and so you have to be careful in interpreting what's going on, but that doesn't mean it's unphysical, it just means...
It looks like, on the comment, that the ring entropy may look at the bulk in some non-local way.
Yeah, that's right.
So you use the word tricky, which I think is the right word. It's tricky.
Yeah. Okay, so let me actually give you an example of this in the Roux-Archibald-Sennheisen wave function that Paul introduced, I think, 2 days ago. So very quickly, this is a it's an ansatz for a wave function, or it's a made-up wave function, I guess, which has the same weights in the z bases as the classical 2D Ising model. Okay, so we imagine it's on the cylinder, and we make entanglement cuts along the y direction. So why do we? What are the physical properties of this wave function? Well, it's easy to show that it's a ground state of a local Hamiltonian. And also, unsurprisingly, it has the same phase diagram as the 2D classical Ising model. So here is beta. I'm considering the generic anisotropic case. At high beta, which is very low temperature, it's ferromagnetic. Low beta, high temperature, it's paramagnetic. And this transition here is in the 2D Ising class as opposed to the generic 3D Ising class that you would expect for a 2 plus 1 dimensional system. So why do we like it? It's nice to study these entanglement Hamiltonians because it satisfies an exact area law. Okay, so to see this, let's define the following. Define this wave function sigma n of A, which is the RK Ising wave functions in part A, where the boundary spins in the column n are held fixed. Okay, similarly, if you define sigma n plus 1 B, it's very easy to see that the full wave function on A and B can be written in terms of these two, sigma n of A and sigma n plus 1 of B alone, with some coefficients up front. Right? So what this means is that I effectively, for the Schmidt decomposition of psi, there's effectively these kets, sigma n of A and sigma n plus 1 B, which are given by the edge labels alone. So just to really drive that point home, in general, for usual systems that you study, rho sub A is actually some d-dimensional object. It actually has 2 to the LX, LY number of rows and columns. The fact that the entanglement entropy only scales as LY is somehow the fact that despite these large number of Schmidt values, only some small number of them contribute to the entanglement entropy. Here we've engineered a situation where the size of this matrix itself is 2 to the LY, so in general, all its Schmidt values will contribute to the entanglement entropy that will scale just to the LY. And so that's nice because I will be able to identify in these pseudo-transitions the order parameter to be the magnetization of the edge, of these edge labels of part A and B. And further, I'll be able to make this analogy sharp that these spurious entanglement transitions that I find are actually surface transitions. So here's the result. If you start with decoupled chains, so this limit, obviously this is in the paramagnetic phase, and you find that the entanglement Hamiltonian, of course, decouples between the chains and looks like it just has a transverse field on each of these edge labels. Okay, so you should imagine these operators, these tilde operators, as acting on the edge labels acting only on the edge labels I described before. So remember this, what the edge, each edge label means is that, so if I had up here on this side here, it actually refers to the RK Ising wave function in part A with this spin being up, with the edge spin being up alone. So I have a 1D label for a 2D wave function. When you weakly couple the chains by turning on a little bit of beta y, you actually end up with a ferromagnetic coupling between the between the spins on column n. And so basically, it's a 1D transisfilizing model. Okay, so just to take a step back, I have a physical wave function that has a transition, and I've derived that its entanglement Hamiltonian in the paramagnetic phase is that of a 1D transisfilizing model. Okay, so I can now ask, where is the transition in the 1D transisfilizing model as compared to the physical phase transition between the paramagnet and the ferromagnet in my wave function in the classical 3D Ising model? And so if I compare the two, I'm working in the beta x much, much bigger than one limit. You see that this one is much, much smaller than that, with the it being it's and it's parametrically controlled by beta x. Okay, so then So at least in this example, we explicitly see that so beta y is zero is a pure paramagnet. As you turn on coupling between these Ising chains, the 1D transverse field Ising model, which is the entanglement Hamiltonian at the edge, undergoes a phase transition first. Okay, so it's a zero temperature quantum phase transition in the entangled. If you looked at the low energy levels alone, you would, for example, see that a gap closed, and on the left of this transition, it would be doubly degenerate. And you only hit the physical phase transition once the entanglement Hamiltonian is already ordered at zero temperature. Okay, and because of this analogy here that the entanglement Hamiltonian really just lives on the edge, and there are edge labels for it, this is a lot like surface ordering before the bulk that we know happens at physical surfaces. Only I'm trying to argue to you that it also happens at entanglement cuts as a function of parameters. So that's the, and so to answer your question, in the fact that the 1D transverse-filizing model here is local tells you that in this phase, the entanglement Hamiltonian is actually local. Indeed, as you approach this transition, its range will keep growing as the correlation length. So for this RKA Ising wave function, we can actually determine the entire phase diagram, not just in the paramagnetic side. It turns out there's something strange also happening on the ordered side. I tried to argue to you that in general, we expect this transition between the ferromagnet and the paramagnet as a function of temperature TE in the ordered phase to go up to infinity. In the RKA Ising wave function, it turns out it doesn't. And this is to do with a weird fact about it, which is that if you looked at amplitudes within the wave function between something, say, all up and half up, half down, instead of this amplitude being suppressed by e to the minus volume, it's only suppressed by the area between part A and B. This is it's a strange feature of this model, and this is what leads to this transition. And I'm happy to talk to some people about it later if they are interested. And I want to thank Max. I don't know if he's here for pointing this out to us. Okay, so what are the consequences of these phase transitions for Reni entropies? So the Reni entropy can be thought of as the free energy of this of the density matrix of at temperature 1 over n. So remember, the Reni indices have this integer index n. And so it's an entanglement free energy at temperature 1 over n. So this is the entanglement entropy. This line gives you the second Reni entropy, et cetera. Phase transitions such as these would just predict that the leading term in the Reni entropy would show fake singularities. Okay, and I want to emphasize that mostly people study sub-leading terms, not leading terms. So I don't know of anywhere in the literature where this has been looked at before. But if they did, you should find fake singularities. I also want to comment on what happens in the case of continuous symmetries. So you can extend the same argument that I made for the discrete symmetries. And this would tell you that as a function of some parameter that's tuning you between the symmetric phase and the ordered phase, that the transition in the entanglement Hamiltonian would happen first. The entanglement Hamiltonian would order first if it could. The tower state structure that's argued to form in the entanglement Hamiltonian when the system orders would actually form at zero temperature before. So this here is a picture from this paper by Lalkley and collaborators, where they try to argue that in the ordered phase, the entanglement Hamiltonian at low temperatures shows the same structure as the physical energy spectrum of the ordered phase in a finite box. Okay, so a very similar structure will turn up here, even in the disordered phase, because of these fake entanglement transitions. Even more exotic possibilities exist, in which if you're breaking a series of symmetries, so I don't know, 04, 03, 02, you could imagine that in what is the ordered phase, you could also have another tower state structure to do with another symmetry that would be broken later. So, I guess the message is that one should be careful when one is studying the zero temperature.
Maybe the previous transparency, I have a question.
supposed to look at any entropy, do you see anything at this physical picture, physical bound transition?
Here.
Yeah, there's a certain fake transition, but whether there's a...
So I think you will see, you will not see anything in the leading term. I think sub-leading terms will show some behavior. So in even in Paul's case...
Yeah, actually, we wondered about that. I think actually even the leading terms will show...
Well, so if I understood right, you're leading in this TSTC, the boundary is actually ordered. That was a boundary condition, right? Yes. So my sense is that the leading terms singularity will happen at NTC, I'm not saying anything about subleading terms, so I don't think it should be non-analytic.
Yeah, why don't you pick up critical fluctuations on the ultraviolet physics? Is that what one's talking about?
At least what I meant here was actually bulk physics, and not just...
No, you pick it up on the... If you're looking at entanglement entropy, but they don't matter at some point.
You know, the reason I ask this question is falling. When you look at ringing entropy, it's like you're changing temperature to look at the entanglement spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And when the bulk comes to this transition, what happened to the boundary is that this boundary suddenly acquires some kind of new term.
Mm-hmm.
It's like in the symmetry operation, it's like when the bulk complete transition, boundary suddenly have a term which is totally, something like a magnetic field up and down, which can totally classically cannot do anything about it. So identify some boundary term, boundary Hamiltonian acquiring a new term. Maybe that is something more closely related to the bulk transition. So then the question is, like, even if you don't study, you can't actually study ring entropy at a different end, whether this new type of term appearing as a boundary can be probed. So that's a question. When the bulk develops Langevin order, the boundary suddenly becomes, say, non-local or something.
It does. So at this point here, the entanglement Hamiltonian is non-local and remains so, I think, to the left here. But I mean, there will be some, if you study the entire Rennie entropy, and I think even with Max Subir, they've looked at sub-leading terms in the Rennie entropy on the critical line in the ON model. So I definitely believe sub-leading terms detect this phase transition. I think what I want to argue is that as far as at this temperature, as far as the boundary is concerned, it's already ordered. So sure, it becomes more non-local, and you know if that, but it's only reinforcing what's already happened. There's no further transitions. There's no further thermodynamic transitions there.
So maybe let me give you another picture for this. So that means the piece detect is appearance of non-local term on the boundary, and then I just said at a low temperature, maybe when n is large. It's already ordered, so maybe it's not so easy to detect it. So all you do that is go to higher temperature. Well, n less than one. Less than one seems you always see something. Because without transition, appears the number of local terms directly causing something.
That's right.
That's
so
that's why it's always goes infinity. Yeah.
Yes. So I think this up here, there will be an abrupt transition for a higher temperature.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when you do a Schmidt decomposition, you've got a choice in how you do the cut. So the bulk of a system doesn't determine its boundary, it only determines some properties of the boundary. In particular, so you can certainly choose different kinds of cuts, and they will have different entanglement spectrum, and presumably you can have changes as you vary the cut. But the original point of this was that you're looking at the topological properties of the system. So however you make the cut in things like in the topology reordered states, like fractional Hall and things, the topology cannot be changed or destroyed by the details of making the cut. So while the details of the spectrum you see when you do the cut will vary depending on how you do the cut and as you vary the effective temperature, the Rennie temperature, whatever, but it'll never change the character that's forced on it by the topological state of the thing.
I agree, and
so
I.
So what you're showing is definitely not.
Yeah, yeah. So this was specifically for broken symmetry, where you're not protected by that. And I think I've run out of time, but I'll just flash what happens. The only way in which we think the chiral case is affected which is much like the edge can reconstruct, in the physical edge can reconstruct. We have examples with the entanglement edge will reconstruct, but that's in agreement with what you're saying. So,
the basic statement was that the details of the edge reveal the topology of the bulk of the entanglement cut here.
So thank you. I didn't go through any of this, but thank you for your